Well, good morning, church. It's wonderful to be with you again today. As we gather on a Sunday, 3 weeks into the new year, which is pretty scary already, but I hope the year started well for you. As we look forward to the year, as things are starting up, maybe a natural question for you to ask, if you haven't yet already, is to think about, you know, what's happening this year? What do I want to see happen in my life this year? What decisions are there to make? What changes are going to happen? What should I do with my life this year? So whether that's something about your work, you know, should I change work? Should I change places? Should I change role? Should I, you know, try something new? Whether it's something about relationships, is this a year to, you know, start a relationship, perhaps end a relationship? Is it moving house? Is it moving states? Is it starting family? Yeah, there's so many big things to be thinking about when you think about what should I do with my life? And this is really tightly tied to, for many of us, really think about our calling, right? What is our calling? And when I talk about calling, what I'm talking about is that this idea that there is something that you are supposed to do, that there is something particular, a purpose for you that you need to do in this world, and you just got to find out what it is. And once you're in that track, then everything is going to be great. This is something that, you know, most of us have some sort of inkling about, you know, this feeling. Even if we're not Christians, you know, you might just feel deep down that you've got, there's a purpose that you've got to find in life. If you're a Christian, maybe it's because you know God's got some sort of plan for you, and you just need to sort of find that out. In fact, some of you here might say you've already found your calling. Yeah, I don't know if that came out in your conversations around you. And you might say that because you found something that you do in your life which you love, yeah? And you really are good at it, right? Like something that you think, you know, maybe you're in work, you're doing some sort of work right now, and you're thinking, I could do this for the rest of my life. I love this. This is awesome. This is so good. I could just keep going with this. I've definitely found my calling. Or maybe it's the flip side for you, all right? Maybe you haven't found your calling yet, right? You're stuck in a job or a stage of life right now that's actually deeply dissatisfying, and you think, if I could just find my calling, you know, then everything will be okay. Friends, I'm here to help you do that today, all right? I'm here to help you find your calling, to find and live out the calling that God has for you. But be warned, it might not be what you expect, okay? Well, let me start by giving a bit of context to the sermon. This sermon was originally part of a series on work last year that we did called Thank God It's Monday, where we looked at the privilege and joy of work that God's given us. And the big category as we thought about work was actually this: serving others for God's glory. Serving others for God's glory. That's what work is. But there's different ways that we thought about work. We thought about work in the world, which is the most common way that we think about work, which is paid work, out in the our careers, out in the workforce. That includes also studying, volunteering, things in the community. Then we talked about work at home, a category that we often overlook, but is it equally important and valuable to God, even if it's not paid? You know, the family relationships, husband, wife, kids, parenting, aging parents, home affairs, hospitality. That's important work for God. And then we talked about the work of the Lord, which is the proclamation of the gospel, serving in church, serving in ministries. And these categories aren't mutually exclusive, because as you do the work in the world and work at home, you're seeking to also do the work of the Lord at times too, aren't you? You know, you're seeking to also share the gospel at different points. You know, in your home, you definitely want to be discipling the family. In the workplace, there might be gospel opportunities coming up. So the work of the Lord actually permeates those other two categories of work too. But the big category that actually everything sits under is working, serving others for the glory of God, right? Serving others for the glory of God. And if we want to actually do that, then we need to understand our calling rightly, right? So here's our first point: getting calling right. Now, if we want to understand what calling actually is, we need to look at what the Bible says about calling, okay? We might have some preconceptions, some ideas, but the Bible gives us what God wants us to know about this. So there's actually two main categories. The first category, let me show you the verses. You can help me. You can have a look at these. So let me read these to you, yeah? 1 Corinthians 1, God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 1, you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Romans 8:30. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those who he called, he also justified. Those who he justified, he also glorified. Now, here's the question. If you look at those verses and you look at the usage of the word called in those verses, what's God actually talking about in his scriptures? What's the primary thing he's talking about? What's actually a calling to salvation? Right? Called, note how the word's used. Called into fellowship with Jesus. Called to belong to Jesus Christ. Called to a new hope. Romans 8, called to be justified, glorified. When the Bible, this is what we need to understand. When the Bible talks about calling, predominantly, overwhelmingly, it's about God's calling to salvation. His plan to save people, to bring them into a new relationship, to help them to know a new hope. And if it's not talking about that, it's probably talking about the second category of calling, which is the next biggest category. And let's have a look at these verses. 1 Peter 2. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Ephesians 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. 1 Thessalonians 4. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Now, if you look at this second category of calling, what's it talking about? Have a look at the way the words calling or called's used there. What's it actually talking about? What's a calling to holiness? A calling to godliness. It's tightly linked to salvation, of course. God calls us to belong to Jesus Christ, and then we're called to live in a way that reflects that. These passages are talking about godliness, called to do good and to be willing to suffer for it, called to be humble, gentle, patient, called to live a pure life, called to serve one another humbly in peace. This is what God has called you to. If you are a Christian, if you belong to him, you are called to be holy. Now, as we pause here to reflect on these things, as we've done a bit of work in the scriptures, what I want you to know is this shows you something about God's heart, something very important. Far above our concerns, which center primarily on finding the one perfect job that we think we should be getting, maybe that God has in store for us, God's primary concern is this: that we come to salvation in Jesus Christ and we live with Jesus Christ as our King. This is what he cares about more than anything else, that we come to salvation in Christ and that we live with Jesus Christ as King. This, overwhelmingly in the scriptures, is his calling for us. That's what he's talking about. This is what really matters to him. This is what calling is really about. So what's that mean? Does it mean then that we don't have a specific purpose in life that God wants us to do? Does God, maybe it makes you ask a question, does God actually have an individual plan for each one of us? Maybe it's just up to us to determine our fate, as long as we're doing that in a godly way, of course. Well, not so fast. There's one more vital passage to look at, the passage that we had read to us before, Felicia brought to us before. I want to show you that. So point two is this: God's calling for you. And we're going to go into 1 Corinthians 7 now, so you can open up your Bibles to where we were at before, or you can follow along on the screens if you don't have your Bibles with you. And I want you to note the use of the word calling in this passage. Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you gain your freedom, do so. For the one who is a slave when called to faith is in the Lord is the Lord's freed person.
Similarly, the one who is free when called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. Brothers and sisters, each person as responsible to God should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Now, the word calling or called appears 8 times in this passage. 7 times it refers to God's calling to salvation that we talked about before. Example, verse 22 as an example. For the one who was a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person. Similarly, the one who was free when called is Christ's slave. It's talking about that call to salvation there. So 7 times, that's what it's talking about. But there's one different usage in verse 17. This is the one that we're probably quite concerned about. Verse 17, nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. Here is the one place in the Scriptures. Here's the one verse we see God's calling for a special role for us, right? This is exciting, right? This is the special role God's got for us. So what does it say? Well, if you look at verse 17, what's our calling? It's whatever situation the Lord has assigned to you. It's whatever situation the Lord has assigned to you. Which means this, that if you were to come up to me after the sermon today and say, hey, Pastor Iggy, can you help me? I want to just really discern my calling. I want to find out what my calling is. I would be 100% confident to actually give you an answer about this, which is a very rare thing for me to be 100% confident about giving you an answer about something. If you ask me that question, I'll reply this, and I'll be so confident that it's true. I'd say, your calling is this. It's wherever you are right now. It's wherever you are right now. Friends, we need to understand this. Your calling is not just one big thing that defines your life. Your calling is the entire set of life circumstances that God has given you right now. Let me say that again. Your calling is not just one big thing that defines your life. Your calling is the entire set of life circumstances that God has given you right now. And this is completely different to what we think normally. There's another surprising implication of this. This means your calling can also change. Have a look at verse 21 with me. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. Excuse me. In ancient times, many people entered into slavery voluntarily to pay off debt. This was their jobs, so to speak. And if a person is a slave, what does God want? God says, do that job well, right? In holiness, recognizing that this is my particular call for you. This is your calling. But if an opportunity arises to gain freedom, these people shouldn't say, no, God's called me to a life of slavery. I'm never going to change. They can change. Thanks, Chester. They can grab this opportunity and change their circumstances. And this too is God's calling. The point here is this: our calling is not just one set static thing, it's dynamic. It can change, right? There's different circumstances, the different opportunities that God gives us. Our calling changes all the time. Do you want to know what God's calling is for you? Well, just look around. Look around at your life. Look at all the responsibilities, the opportunities, the duties, the circumstances that God has placed in your life right now. All of this is His calling for you. Friends, remember this. Where you are is not an accident, okay? Where you are is not an accident. Whether you are single or married, whether you have kids or no kids, whether you are a student or a worker, whether you are a carpenter or a lawyer, whether life is good or whether life is hard, that is God's calling for you. The entire set of life circumstances you have right now has been assigned specifically by God to you. And when these things change, that's God's calling for you too. Sebastian Traeger and Greg Gilbert sum this up in their book, The Gospel at Work. It's a great book, and they sum it up really well. It's coming up on the screen. If you're looking for that one big thing to name as your calling, or if you think you've already found it, you're adopting an idea that the Bible never uses. Calling is not one thing in your life. It's everything in your life at any given moment. And friends, when we get this, things change, right? This is vital for us to get. It reshapes the way we make decisions. It reshapes the way we actually live our life. If you don't understand the way the Bible uses calling, then we're actually going to be in great danger. Right? Let me tell you about the dangers we'll be in. It's either idolatry on one side or idleness on the other side. Think about this. If you think calling is just one big thing, like one thing that you're called to do, that God wants you to do, you have an excuse actually to idolize whatever job you're in, right? Don't you? And you can neglect all your other responsibilities because after all, come on, God's called me to do this work. Of course I need to do it with all I got. You know, if you think your calling's to be the best investment banker in Australia, for example, then it's absolutely valid for you to neglect your family to pursue that goal, to neglect your church community, your friends, in fact, everything. Just jettison everything and pursue this calling because that's what God wants you to do. God wants you to do that, right? That's a danger. Idolatry is a real danger. And just as a side note on that one, isn't it quite interesting how people always seem to be called to really high-paying, high-status jobs? Yeah, I don't often hear people saying to me, I think God's really calling me to be a cleaner. I really want to pursue this, right? We've got such an upper-class Holy Spirit helping us. If you misunderstand calling, friends, the danger of idolatry is very, very real, right? It gives us an excuse to worship that one thing we want to do. The flip side of this is that if you're doing a job that you don't believe to be your calling, you don't think it's your calling yet, then there's a real danger of idleness, of laziness, isn't there? Because you can actually give the excuse that, hey, this isn't actually my real calling. This is just sort of like a placeholder until I find my calling. So I'm just going to give it the bare minimum. This isn't God's true calling for me. So it doesn't really matter. Your responsibilities, you can sort of downplay. The danger of idleness is very real as well. But when you get calling right, it actually changes everything. It changes everything. Traeger and Gilbert give a few implications in their book, which are so good. I'm just going to summarize those for you. The first is this. We are to take our work seriously. Instead of just doing the bare minimum in your current job, you'll recognize that at least for now, this job, whatever you're doing, is precisely what God has assigned to you. Whether it's studying, whether it's taking care of the kids, whether it's balancing accounts, this is an assignment from God Himself to you, direct from Him, right? This isn't an accident where you are. He's sovereign. He's in control. He's got a plan for your life. So that means wherever you are right now, take it seriously. Take it seriously. Engage in it with energy, faithfulness, godliness, and that will honor Him. Secondly, we can be encouraged. We can be encouraged knowing God has a good plan for us. You don't have to be discouraged, wondering whether you'll find your true calling, your true purpose one day. Or maybe you look back at a decision maybe 5-10 years ago and you go, you regret that. You go, I should have done that. That's probably what God wanted me to do. And you're quite crushed about that. Take assurance in this, that you are exactly where God wants you to be. You're exactly where God wants you to be. Of course, this might change also next week or next year, but be encouraged knowing that God doesn't make mistakes. He is sovereign over your life and He's put you where you are for a reason. So you can serve Him well wherever you are right now. And the third implication is this. We don't have to feel trapped. There is such great freedom knowing that God changes the assignments He's given to us in life as well, right? That He changes our calling at certain seasons. Which means this, we don't have to feel trapped in a job we are struggling in because we think to change would go against God's calling. Yeah, we feel guilty if we don't tough it out in a really, really tough environment. Yeah, it's good to challenge ourselves to think about that. But we need to recognize too that here's the thing, that God works in seasons. God often changes our assignments in life. New opportunities will arise. New responsibilities will come into our life. And we can take hold of these things, confident, thankful to God that He has a good plan for us. So you don't have to be trapped in whatever you are doing. Friends, when you see calling rightly, when you have a right understanding of calling like the Bible has, it's really freeing. It actually really frees us. What a relief knowing that we don't have to spend our lives finding that one perfect thing that we are supposed to be doing with our life. How comforting is it to know that we don't have to live in fear that we might be doing the wrong thing, we're going against God's will somehow, or we'll never find the right thing to do? How good is it that God has a plan for each one of us, and He cares for us? And whatever life circumstances we are in, He has put us there for a reason, even when they're hard. Friends, knowing this frees us to boldly take hold of whatever God's given us right now and do that wholeheartedly, thankful to God and honoring Him in how we do it. That's what happens when we see our calling rightly. My friends, as I say all this, there is one practical question that remains, I'm sure that you're asking. It's this: how do I find the right job? Now, if you've been listening closely, you'll probably understand that there isn't one right job, and that is very freeing. You just really grab hold of it. There's no one right job for you. But the reality is we still have to make real significant decisions about our life trajectory. We've got to decide, what degree should I study in uni? Should I change courses because I don't like it? When do I know if a job is a good fit or not? How many days a week should I work? Should I be a stay-at-home mom or go back to paid work? Should I enter full-time paid ministry? And if God doesn't have one specific calling for me, does it even matter, actually? Can I just do whatever? Really, what we're talking about here is a question of guidance. I don't know about you, but I definitely had moments in my life where I wanted God to show me a sign about what I should do, like something really definite, like, you know, just show me. I'm sure we've all prayed that prayer at some point. I had a friend one time who said that his mum got lost in a crowd. He was really worried about her, elderly mum. He said, if you help me find my mum, I know that'll be a sign that I should be a pastor. So God found his mum for him. He's not a pastor yet, but I still remind him of that quite regularly, yeah. He's not quite there yet, but, you know, we want a sign. We want some certainty. We just want God's help to make a good decision. That's not a bad thing. That's natural. Well, let me help show you something. I want to show you God's will for your life. Colossians 3, 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Friends, here's the truth that will shape and guide every single one of your decisions. This big truth: Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. The Son of God has gone to the cross. He's died to forgive our sins. He's risen again to give us new life and new hope. And as He rises, do you know what He says to His disciples? He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Because as He rises conquering death, conquering sin, and being enthroned as a king over all creation. As we look at Jesus now, we don't just look at the Savior, we look at the King. And if Jesus is King, this reality changes everything. This is what this verse is talking about. Some of you here in this room haven't bowed your knee yet and pledged allegiance to Jesus as King. You know, it's so great you're here, hearing about the good news. But we'd love to help you. Please fill out a Connect card, put in that little blue mailbox at the back, have a chat to me or one of the other pastors here or those around you. We'd love to help you take that step. But for those of you who are Christians here, our call is to remember this, that whatever we do, it is the Lord Christ we are serving. Whatever we do, it is the Lord Christ we are serving. That's really important for us to get. That means that Jesus is our King. Jesus is our Lord. He has authority, which means we do not what we want, but what He wants. That's what matters most. We have a lot of freedom, friends. Let me tell you this. We have a lot of freedom. We have a lot of freedom to make decisions about what our lives look like, to pursue our passions and our giftings. You got freedom to do that. Or you have the freedom to choose not to pursue your passions or giftings for the sake of serving Jesus in a different way. But the one overriding thing that shapes this is always this: Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Here's what that means practically. Don't pick a job that will cause you to disobey Jesus. Now, in very simple terms, that means nothing criminal, okay? You know, drug dealing is off the table. You can't do things like that. That's pretty obvious. But there's less obvious things, ways that this plays out, right? Maybe you have a job where you're put into situations where you're caused to compromise on what you believe Jesus wants you to do. Maybe your boss asks you to do some dodgy things with the accounts, maybe. So the taxes, you know, aren't quite accurate there. But, you know, it's not hurting anyone, so it's okay. But you feel that you know this isn't the right thing to do in Jesus' eyes. Maybe you're in a medical job and sometimes you're asked to do things ethically which you actually disagree with, that you know is against your Christian convictions and morals, and you're put in those situations regularly. Friends, that's really hard. Now, let me say, I don't think it's worth disobeying your king to pick up a paycheck. This is important. Don't pick a job that will cause you to disobey Jesus Christ. The second implication is this. God cares more about how you do things over what you do. God cares more about how you do things about over what you do. Remember, his primary calling is salvation and godliness. Whatever you do, work at it with all your hearts as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So don't worry about finding the perfect career. Find a job and do it with integrity, humility, serving those around you, loving people, commending the gospel in your words and actions. And as you do that, God will be greatly honored. A great framework that you can use to make decisions is this. We talked about this in our work series. It's faithfulness, fruitfulness, but not idolatry, okay? This is a great framework to think about. Let me give you an example. So you might be thinking about something like, should I pursue becoming a specialist doctor? You know, a very important job, but a job that takes quite a lot as well. I think we all understand this. This is not a decision to make in isolation, is it? This decision impacts everything in your life, right? Ask yourself, if you do this, will you be able to be faithful, number one, to all the things that God's called you besides this study and work? Will the cost of time spent studying, the stress of exams, the long hours of works, maybe the moving around, the night shifts, things like that, which is all part of the job, mean that you can't fulfill your responsibilities as a son, daughter, father, mother, husband, wife, brother or sister in Christ, friend, volunteer, servant in church, all these other things that God's called you to? Will it compromise that? And at this point, you need to stop and think about how God's made you, right? You need to think about your gifting, right? Because God's made us all different. Because I think we all know that, you know, we all know those people that can, pursue something like this. They can study, they can work, they can do night shifts and all this. And they barely need to study. They're so gifted that they're just geniuses. They just pass things. It doesn't take them that much effort. Yes, we all hate those people, you know. It doesn't take that much stress or energy to do it, but they can do all these things, right? Because God's gifted them in that way. But for the majority of us, I think, we recognize the sacrifices that come. The relationships, the commitments, responsibilities, all these things that it takes as we study and work to just pass the exams, there'll be a lot of sacrifice along the way for us. And the decision for those two people will be very different. Do you see that? Depending on how God's made them. Because for one, they will be able to be faithful in all God has called them to. And for the other, they won't. Now, this isn't a source of pride or shame, you know, if you can or can't do this. It's just grappling with the reality of how God's made you, what he's gifted you with, and how you can best use those gifts to serve him. The next step to ask, after asking whether pursuing this will enable me to be faithful to what God's called me to, is this: will this role enable me to be more fruitful for the kingdom? Will I have time and opportunities as I work in this field to keep investing in the work of the Lord? Or am I barely having enough hours in the week to just survive life? I don't even get to eat lunch, let alone invest in the kingdom of God, right? This is something you have to wrestle with. And lastly, is idolatry a danger for this work? This takes a lot of honesty, right? This takes a lot of humility to wrestle with this. How much of this, asking yourself this question, how much of this is because I want this rather than what God wants. Friends, God cares about the heart ultimately. If you love a job too much, it can easily become an idol. It can become your source of joy and satisfaction instead of God. And I use the example of, you know, pursuing a medical specialty, but this is exactly the same stuff that myself as a pastor needs to wrestle with, right? Because it's all too easy to make ministry an idol and sacrifice family on the altar of success. And I've seen that happen. Friends, remember, your calling isn't just one thing, but it's all that God's given you. This is how you live a life that honors Jesus Christ as Lord. So whether you are choosing a new career, whether you're choosing to change jobs or to stop or reduce your work to spend more paid work, to spend more time with your kids at home, ask how this will help my faithfulness, how it will help my fruitfulness, and how it will keep me away from idolatry. If that's too much for you, let me just boil it down to you. There's just one question you need to keep asking yourself. Does this honor Jesus? Does this honor Jesus? How often have you asked yourself that question? Let me tell you, if we all began to ask that as we make our decisions, then it would be transformative for our church. It will change your whole life. Friends, we need to recognize something. We're privileged in our society that we get to choose. A lot of people don't get to live out their desires. They don't get to pursue their passions. They don't get to exercise their gifts. Imagine, think about this. Imagine how many potentially gifted doctors or lawyers there are in poverty-stricken slums around our world that never get a chance to live this out because of the circumstances they're in. Is God upset that they didn't find their calling, that they didn't maximize their worldly potential? No, of course not. God is greatly pleased wherever they are, whatever they are doing, as long as they are seeking to serve Jesus in all of their lives. And that's the same for you too. Free yourself from a wrong understanding of calling and step out boldly, serving Jesus, your boss, in whatever you do. And as you do that, be confident. Know this, you are living out your true calling and it's bringing your King much honor. Let me pray. Father God, we give you great thanks for Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our King. Thank you that he has come and he has loved us so much that he's given everything to us. And now he calls us to live a life that is worthy of him, of being his disciple. Thank you for the freedom, as we've seen in the scriptures, that primarily that concern is not about what we do, but how we do it. That we may do all things in honor and service of our great King, that we may do things in godliness and love, conducting ourselves in that way with those around us. As we do that, we know that whatever we're doing, this will bring you great honor and glory, and that's what matters most. So, Father, give us the wisdom to be discerning, to make good decisions in how we live our life so that you are most honored. And we pray that your Holy Spirit may help us in this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, let's take a few minutes to reflect on the scriptures we've heard. There's been a lot of big things, and maybe it's a time for you to just have a little prayer